Blog Talk Radio.
Bill Belichick, I'm a playmaker. Tom Brady gon' pump fake him. Zone blitz, hard hits, red zone, we gon' make it. 2 minute warning, I'm Tebow. With an ego like Tebow. All I know is beast mode. Strapping cleats, we finna go. Oh, you ain't know that we putting on a show. About to win a Super Bowl. Tough man, it's a go home. Look, I ain't really with all that. Coin toss, we call that. Wrong call, we get the ball back. Get pancakes, make a fall flat. Why they make me turn off Randy Moss down the field? Go. And we going for the conversion. Go. Leave the other team hurting cause their strategies is worthless. Ray Wright sitting hosing, ain't a thing they gonna do about it. Yeah. You ain't got to believe me. Check NFL Weekly. Tape real, big brand, they got the news. You understand? They no plan, they no not. They no trash, they no hot. Top spot, up for grabs. Tune in to the podcast.
What is going on, people? What is going on? Welcome to It's Real Talk Radio, NFL Weekly Wrap-Up. We are back. We are back. We are back. It feels really, really good to be back, too. You know, we ended last season after the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, we were gone for the season, and now we're back and ready to really get into this NFL 2014 season. And it just feels really good, man. It's been a long time coming, been waiting all season. You know, shout out to all the podcasts that's doing, football podcasts and sports podcasts in general. It's really motivational. You know, like I hear some of you other guys out there doing podcasts for, different sports and especially the football one, since, you know, that's what we do. And it's just really motivational. There's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of good podcasters out there doing a really, really good job. You know, so shout out to the whole podcast movement. You know, everybody covering sports and interesting topics. Shout out to the whole movement. It's one of the things that really keeps me motivated and going, you know. So with that said, man, I mean, it's the 2014 season. We just had week one. There's a lot of stuff went down. And before I even get into that, I just want to say, if you're a sports fan, make sure you check out UltimateSportsTalk.com. And I can guarantee you they got something for everybody. You can log on to UltimateSportsTalk.com for exciting news and updates on all the nation's top sports, including NFL, NBA, MLB, NCAA, and more. I mean, like, you just go on the site and just, like, anything you can think of is pretty much covered. You can hear a lot of other podcasts, including NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, another podcast. They do a really good job. And, shout out to the whole Ultimate Sports Talk movement. Make sure you check them out. Now, with that said, this week one has been definitely interesting. Week one has been definitely interesting. It's a lot of action going on. And before I even get into the scores of what happened, I mean, obviously you hear the intro, and you hear on the intro, and you hear where the line says something about Ray Rice hitting holes or something like that. And it's crazy because I didn't think about that until it was playing. I'm like, wow, like, to actually hear that and knowing how people feel about Ray Rice right now after the league rained down on him like a hurricane. It's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, Ray Rice was originally suspended for 2 games, and the NFL commissioner released a statement saying he got it wrong, and from now on, people will be suspended for 6 games on their first offense, and their second offense suspended indefinitely, more than likely banned from the league. And, you know, the TMZ, I believe it was, released a new video of Ray Rice of actually them saw what happened in the elevator, which that video was never shown before. And so, I mean, now it's just like it's just been a frenzy on social media, and hearing the feedback and the things that people had to say about him is just like crazy, you know. And I don't know. We're going to touch back on that. We're going to touch back on that. But before we get further into that, let's get into these scores. Let's get into these scores real quick. It's been a lot of interesting stuff going on. A lot of good football was played. A lot of expected things went down, but some unexpected things went down too. Now, I just, you know what? I need y'all to bear with me real quick. My co-host is trying to get on here. Seems to be having some issues. He's actually calling me. I'll be right back, y'all. I'm going to try to get my co-host on here. Y'all just bear with me. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to NFL Weekly Wrap-Up on It's Real Talk Radio. Your host, T-Real, is in the building. Y'all bear with me. I'll be right back.
I shall not fear no man but God, though I walk through the valley of death. I shall not sleep, I should die before I wake. Please, God, walk with me, grab me, and take me out. Back in elementary, I thrived on misery. Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest until I got that thug life tatted on my chest. Tell me, can you feel me? I'm not living in the past, you wanna laugh. Be the first to blast, remember Cato. No longer with the seat, deceased. Call on the sirens, seen them murdered in the streets. Now rest in peace, is there heaven for a G? Remember me, so many homies in the cemetery. Shed so many tears. I suffered through the years, and shed so many tears. Lord, I lost so many tears, and shed so many tears. Now that I'm struggling in this business by any means, label me greedy, getting green, but seldom seen. And fuck the world, cause I'm cursed. I'm having visions of leaving here in the hearse. God, can you feel me? Take me away from all the pressure and all the pain. Show me some happiness again. I'm going blind. I spend my time in the cell, ain't living well. I know my destiny is hell, but did I fail? My life is in denial, and when I die, baptized in eternal fire, shed so many tears. Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears. Lord, I lost so many tears and shed so many tears. Now I'm lost and I'm weary, so many tears. I'm suicidal, so don't stand in me. My every move is a calculated step to bring me closer to embracing early death. Now there's nothing left. There was no mercy on the streets, I couldn't rest. I'm barely standing, about to go to pieces, screaming peace. And though my soul was deleted, I couldn't see it. I had my mind full of demons trying to break free. They planted seeds and they hatched, sparking the flame inside my brain like a match. Such a dirty game, no memories, just a misery. Painting a picture of my enemies killing me in my sleep. Will I survive till the morning to see the sun? Please Lord, forgive me for my sins, cause here I come. Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears. God, I lost so many tears. And Lord knows I tried. Been a witness to homicide. Drive-by taking lives, little kids die. Wonder why as I walk by, broken hearted as I glance at the chalk line, getting high. This ain't the life for me, I wanna change. But ain't no future right for me, I'm stuck in the game. I'm trapped inside a maze. See the Tangeray influence me to getting crazy, disillusioned lately. I've been really wanting babies, so I can see a part of me that wasn't always shady. Don't trust my lady, cause she's a product of this poison. I'm hearing noises, think she's fucking all my boys. Can't take no more, I'm falling to the floor, begging for the Lord to let me into heaven's door. Shed so many tears. Lord, I've lost so many years and shed so many tears.
got so many fears.
Alright, so welcome back. Man, I just tried to get my co-host on. I just took a quick break and, you know, tried to get him on. And after all of that, he wasn't able to get on. And it's crazy, man. It's been a pretty hectic day for me, man. I mean, you know, my co-host is Big Ran. Shout out to Big Ran. He wasn't able to make it tonight. Like, everybody, whoever listened last year's NFL Weekly Wrap-Up 2013 season knows that Big Ran's work schedule is crazy and unpredictable. So he's, like, you know, pretty much a wild card because his work schedule is just that crazy. And then, you know, we also have Mr. Dano. Now, Mr. Dano was trying to get on, but I don't know, technical difficulties or something. Said he couldn't get through. Just took a break, tried to get him on, couldn't. And looks like I'm going to be winging it by myself tonight. But it's all good. Your boy Tay Real got this, man. So we're going to get into all the action, man. First, we had Green Bay versus Seattle. That was the Thursday night game. So, I mean, I picked Seattle. I definitely picked Seattle, and I expected them to win. I thought the game would have been closer. I thought the score would have been closer. But, I mean, I don't know. I really expected New Orleans to win. But, I mean, truth be told, they're still, like, a really, really good team. Still one of the best teams in the NFL. Definitely. I feel like I said New Orleans. If I said New Orleans, I meant to say Seattle. But they've shown that they don't have the Super Bowl hangover. Like, at least not as of right now. I mean, because to open up the season against a solid team like Green Bay and to perform the way they did shows that they're still hungry and they're still chasing that Super Bowl trophy. Like, they won it again. Like, they hungry. They want more. And, that's really what's up, because a lot of times teams win the Super Bowl and they open up not looking as sharp. You know, like, even if they win, it's not in such dominant fashion, especially against a formidable opponent like the Green Bay Packers. You know, I thought Aaron Rodgers probably would have threw for, like, 300 yards. And the score, like, I had Seattle winning by a touchdown. They won 36-16. They handled business. You know, Green Bay played well for a good portion. And, I expected Seattle to win, but I was impressed with the dominant performance they put up and how they won. You know, with solid defense. And Richard Sherman actually wasn't targeted one time. And Aaron Rodgers is as good a quarterback as you can get. So to see Richard Sherman, like, not get targeted one time speaks volume. I hear a lot of criticism about Richard Sherman. Like, you know, he only stays on that one side. He's not always guarding the best receiver. At the end of the day, that man does his job. He shuts down whatever is in front of him. And to have Aaron Rodgers not target you once says it all to me. So, Seattle handled business. Aaron Rodgers threw for 189 yards. That's low for any NFL quarterback, especially Aaron Rodgers. One touchdown. I mean, Wilson only threw for 191 yards and two touchdowns. But, man, Marshawn Lynch, 110 yards rushing and two touchdowns. That's pretty big right there. So you got Marshawn Lynch going for over 100 against Green Bay. Green Bay, not necessarily known for their defense, more of an offensive powerhouse, but I mean, to open up the season like that shows that Seattle has their game face on. And I still think that Green Bay is going to be straight. I don't think Green Bay is going to like, you know, crumble and have a 7-9 season. I think Green Bay is definitely a playoff. It's really, really early, you know, to be making predictions. But I think Green Bay is a playoff team. Just with Aaron Rodgers back there, some good receivers, I just can't see Green Bay not getting into the playoffs, though they almost didn't get in last year. So that was that. Seattle's now 1-0. Green Bay's 0-1. It sucks to have to open up the season against Seattle, you know. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. It was prime time, and I think Green Bay will be good. But right now, Seattle is still on fire. That's what's up. So then we had New Orleans against the Falcons. So we had the Saints against the Falcons. And, you know, if you tuned into NFL Weekly Wrap-Up last year, you know we had a pool. We got a pool again this year. And there's more people in it this time. And everybody in the pool picked New Orleans. Clean sweep. And you know how bad of a season the Falcons had last year. So everybody, including myself, picked New Orleans. We thought New Orleans was going to win it and in pretty dominant fashion. But then you got to keep in mind that there's still a division rivalry, and division rivals tend to play each other really good, really tight, really close. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's the upset of the week, because we know the Falcons have potential. Last year they just kind of crumbled and fell apart. I mean, the Falcons were home, but most of us did expect New Orleans to win, and the Falcons pulled it off. It looked like the game was over. I didn't see the game live, but I just was getting updates from the game I was watching. Next thing I know, it's like the Falcons are down, I think, just 3, but like 30 seconds left. Next thing I know, it's in the overtime. Next thing I know, the Falcons won. I'm like, wow, like I did not expect that. And New Orleans actually opens up the season 0-1. The Falcons are 1-0. And to beat a formidable opponent like the Saints says that maybe the Falcons aren't going to be playing around this year, though they did give up 34 points. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet to have to score so many points to win a game at home. But shout out to Matt Ryan, man. I mean, 448 passing yards with 3 touchdowns. That's crazy. I mean, Drew Brees, 333 passing yards, but only 1 touchdown. And it was a tight game. Marcus Colston, 110 yards receiving. Julio Jones, 116 yards receiving. Pretty good, solid game, man. I mean, actually, it's a great game. Falcons came back. They won it in overtime. Nobody was rushing too great. 60 yards rushing for the top rusher for New Orleans, 52 yards rushing for the top rusher in Atlanta. Still a good game. Definitely still a good game. I wish I could have seen that game live. I really wish I could have seen that game, man. I think that's when I was watching that freaking Ravens game, man. Man, I'm going to get into that, man. It's coming up. But, yeah, man, so the Falcons look like they kind of got – we'll see. It's still really, really early. I'm not – the Falcons haven't won me over yet. I need to see more. That's a good way to open up the season, 1-0, after bouncing back from a horrific year last year. And then we had the Vikings against the Rams. Now, I expected the Vikings to win, but I did not expect the Vikings to dominate the way they did. That – is crazy. Oh, it looks like we got Mr. Dano. Mr. Dano?
Hey. Yes, sir.
Finally got you. Finally got you on here. I didn't think you was going to make the show. I was telling the listeners that, you know, I took a break and tried to get you on here, and it didn't work out too well. And I thought I was going to have to, you know, wing it by myself tonight.
No, I had to find a way.
So we got you up on here. Cool. Hey, can you, like, you sound far away from the phone, though.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you. Still sound a little distant, though.
Hold on for 1 second. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
All right, so I was just talking about the first couple of games, and I was just getting to that Minnesota Vikings versus St. Louis Rams game, and the final score was 34-6 in favor of the Vikings, and the Vikings really, really showed some true dominance. I was not expecting the Vikings to do that to the Rams. Did that catch you off guard, Mr. Dano?
Oh, yeah, that caught me off guard. I saw some of it, and I was surprised. I was surprised with that game.
I mean, the Vikings, like, they ain't playing around. I mean, woof. Wow. And I see on the pool, I'm looking at the pool right now, you actually chose St. Louis. I think you might have been the only one. Let me see. I think you might have been the only one that chose. Yeah, it looks like everybody else chose Minnesota. Yeah, so you had confidence in the Rams, man. The Rams got you an extra loss on the pool, man. I mean, they were home. And we know the Rams had some solid performances last year. I mean, they had that one game where they, like, demolished the Colts at home. And, you know, the Rams is kind of that wild card team. Either they show up completely or they don't show up at all, and they did not show up at home in the opener, losing 34-6. Now, we would expect, like, maybe the Broncos to beat the Rams 34-6, but not the Vikings. So is it that the Vikings are that good this year, or that St. Louis just laid an egg on the opener?
I think they just laid
an
egg on the opener.
Could be, man. It's going to be interesting to see how they try to bounce back in week two. I'm not going to see it and act like my expectations for the Rams are really that high, though. But, I mean, you just got to give the Vikings credit for the performance they put up on the road. Stats I'm seeing right now aren't too crazy. I mean, Matt Castle, 170 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. Then you have the top rusher for the Vikings with 102 rushing yards and a touchdown. That's pretty solid. Greg Jennings, only 58 yards receiving and a touchdown. So that's not nothing too crazy. For the Rams, you got Davis. I ain't going to lie. I don't even know who A. Davis is. And I know people that are like,
man,
I'm like, how could you not know? I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know who that is. But his name is actually Austin Davis. And
I didn't even know who he was,
but, you know, 192 yards passing. You know, not nothing too crazy. A lot of, you know, this is subpar stats. You know, I'm not going to lie. So for those who are listening, check it. Like, he had an interception too, by the way, but no touchdowns. Obviously, he had no touchdowns. It's cool. They had 6 points, but I don't really watch college, so a lot of times when it comes to new players, I won't know who they are. They don't get prime time or don't really stand out, and you're seeing, you know, highlights from them, stats and all that stuff on SportsCenter and all that. I might not know them, so just know that and try not to crucify me when you're listening to the show. I watch NFL football. I love NFL football, but I do not watch college. So, but the Vikings with a solid performance, man. Got to give it up to them. Now, the Browns against the Steelers was an interesting game because I was seeing the updates from that when I was watching the 1 o'clock game. And the Steelers, last I remember, the Steelers were, like, destroying the Browns or at least dominating. And next thing I know, the Browns came back, and it looked like it was going into overtime before the Steelers finally won it. And, no, a final score of 30-27. I mean, for the Browns to put up 27 points against the Steelers in the opener on the road and almost tie it, go into overtime, almost they had a chance to, you know, they actually could have won the game, like, you know, 27-30. Like, that's pretty surprising for me because, you know, we always expect the Browns to just be horrible. But sometimes we tend to forget that this is the National Football League and – you know, sometimes teams are going to show up, and sometimes there's going to be upsets and surprising outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you probably was expecting the Steelers to blow the Browns out at home, right?
Oh, yeah, I thought that was going to happen.
And the next thing you know, I'm looking at the score like, what? They came back? Like, wow. Like, are they going to really beat them? Like, and then I seen the final score, 30-27. But you got to give credit to the Browns for, you know, putting up that type of performance on the road in week one, 2014 season. Ben Roethlisberger, 365 yards passing. But I think he had, like, close to, like, 280 in, like, the first half. He, like, he broke his record, the most passing yards he ever had in the first half. It was, like, close to, like, it was, like, 278, like, close to, like, 280. You know, and the second half, obviously, the Browns found a way to quiet him down. He only ended up with 365, so he passed for less than 100 in the second half. If the Browns could have played a little more solid in the first half, they could have won a game.
Yeah.
But I think the Browns have been, like, the punching bag of the Steelers. I think the Steelers are, like, I think Ben Roethlisberger is, like, what, 19-1 against them now? Something crazy like that. Like, he only lost to them, like, one time. And I think that might have been last season when he did lose to them. But he only lost to them, like, one time. And he got, like, 18, 19 victories over them now. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And,
I heard the Browns gonna be right this year.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll definitely see about that. I mean, Antonio Brown, 116 yards receiving. He's really. I'm not gonna lie. Obviously, I don't like the Steelers, but me being a Ravens fan, but he's a pretty solid receiver. I mean, he's good, man. He does his thing. Like, he shows up. I can't even take that from him. He shows up, man. Ben Roethlisberger gonna be Ben Roethlisberger. And you know what it is. I still don't think the Steelers are going to make too much noise this year, though they may make the playoffs. They may squeeze into the wild card. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if they squeeze into the wild card. Now, if they end up, like, the number two seed with a first-round bye, something, that would shock. I think that would shock everybody. Nobody's expectations for the Steelers are that high right now. I mean, they barely beat the Browns. So we'll see. And then we got Jacksonville against – what was that, Mr. Dano?
I said, yep. So what game are you talking about, Jacksonville?
We got – what you were saying?
You were talking about Jacksonville.
Yeah, we got Jacksonville against the Eagles. Jacksonville was up 14-0, I think at halftime, the score was, like, still 14-0, like – that's another game that I was seeing the highlights when I was watching my game. And I mean, not the highlights, but the updates. And I'm like, man, it looked like Jacksonville really going to win. You know, I picked Philly in the pool. So I was like, dang, man, let me find out. That should have been my upset pick. And next thing I know, second half, next thing I know, Philly's on the scoreboard. They're on the board again. And the next thing I know, they just passed them, and they never looked back after that. I mean, Jacksonville only scored 3 points after that, and Philly just ended up with 34 points. And Jacksonville was stuck at 17, and Philly came back and won it. You know, the only thing about that game that's – like, the main thing that's surprising about that game is the fact that Philly didn't dominate from start to finish. They had to come back and win.
Yeah. But I kind of knew Philly was going to win.
I got to get that NFL ticket, man, to be able to see these games. Really, the red zone, because the red zone just give you all the scoring plays. You get just everything you see is action, action, action. You get to see multiple games. I miss having that, man. But that's Allen Hurns. He was a big part. I mean, he was the reason they was up 14-0. I mean, he scored both of the touchdowns. 4 receptions, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he's a rookie. A rookie. A rookie wide receiver comes in, 4 catches, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. The only thing you wish is, like, dang, it would have been nice if it could have been, like, 6 or 7 catches. But he had 2 monster catches for touchdowns. He just, I mean, 4 catches, 110 yards, he's averaging 27.5 yards receiving per catch. So.
This guy ain't no joke.
He came in doing this thing, man. If he have another game like that, you're going to have to really look out for him, man. That's crazy. You know, but what did you think about that? When you were seeing the highlights, the scores and stuff, the updates, did you think Jacksonville was really going to, like, be able to pull it off when you seen that they was up 14-0 in the second quarter?
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights, but I kind of knew the Philadelphia wasn't going to go down like that.
I mean, this dude, Nick Foles, this dude can play some quarterback, man. I mean, he had 322 passing yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Not that big a deal, only 1 pick. 2 touchdowns, 322 passing yards. This dude can play some football, man. Like, he is the quarterback for the Eagles. And I think as long as he's back there, I'm confident that the Eagles can get some big wins and definitely get into the playoffs and probably win their division. I could see them winning their division, actually, to be honest with you. Philly's that team that I'm watching to possibly be an upset team and maybe actually get into the playoffs and beat a dominant team in the playoffs or something. You know, let's see if they still riding that same wave from last year. Let's see what they got in them this year. It's definitely going to be definitely interesting, though.
Yeah.
And then we got the Raiders against the Jets. And, I mean, I definitely expected the Jets to win. Now, I didn't expect it to be a blowout, but I expected them to probably win by, probably between 7 and 10 points. Man, I hear echo. I think I'm right now.
Let me take you off the speaker.
Yeah, that's probably best, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaker never works out too well on the show. The Jets, they beat Oakland. I mean, it's nothing to be, you know, if you're a Jets fan, you're not overwhelmed or nothing, I mean, with excitement. I mean, they beat the Raiders. I feel like the Jets should be a good enough team to beat the Raiders by more than 5 points at home, but a win is a win. You won't argue that. I'm not a Geno Smith fan. I'll be the first to tell you, I can't believe, Mike Vick is not the one starting over Geno Smith. I wonder what Big Rand think about that. I got to holler at Big Rand, man. Hopefully Big Rand can make it next week, and I can ask his opinion about it. Big Rand had a lot of criticism for Geno Smith last season, too. But he helped him get the victory, 221 passing yards, 1 touchdown. Not nothing too crazy. He did have an interception. Still had a passer rating of, I think, 96. It's pretty solid, actually. I don't know. Mr. Dano, are you a Geno Smith fan? You like the way he plays? You like his game?
No, I'm not. I was for Oakland. I was hoping Oakland was going to win because I got a friend of mine from Oakland. He just went to Oakland. I was hoping Oakland was
going to
do something this year.
Yeah, it seems like Oakland is one of those teams that's just meant to be bad. Like Oakland, it's been a minute since they've been good, man. Since the early 2000s, last time I remember, back when they made it to the Super Bowl, and then got tortured by Tampa Bay. I think Jerry Rice was playing for Oakland back then. Matter of fact, but.
Yeah.
I do like Rex Ryan, and I think Rex Ryan is a good coach, and maybe the Jets will, possibly be a sleeper team for this year and possibly make the wild card, Definitely too early for me to say that with confidence, but let's watch the Jets. I mean, they're starting off 1-0. They didn't really beat anybody, but let's see what they do, because one thing I know for sure is Rex Ryan is definitely a disciplined coach. Now, we got to get to this next game, the Ravens and the Bengals, because that's the game I literally was watching and was like, what the heck is wrong? I can say a lot about this game because I actually watched this game, and it's like, what is going on with the Ravens offense? Like, I feel like they got too many weapons. Like, they got Steve Smith. They got Torrey Smith. They got Jacoby Jones. I think Marlon Brown is a pretty solid receiver. They got too many weapons, man. Like, What do you think is wrong with the Ravens' offense, Mr. Dano?
I don't know. I think they party over the season too long. Over the break, they must have partied or slept or something. I don't know. Poor Flacco.
Flacco had a rough year last year, and it shows no signs of letting up this year. Like,
I think the Ravens made some bad decisions when they got rid of players, and I think like Anquan Boldin, he should have never went to the 49ers.
Well, it worked out well for the 49ers. It didn't work out so well for the Ravens.
Ed Reed was old. I think that they should have kept Ed Reed, too. They made some bad decisions.
I mean, at halftime, it was 15-0 Cincy. And they were in Baltimore. And Baltimore is known for winning their home openers and winning in September.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't. It was just, As a Ravens fan, that was still tough to watch. It really was to see the offense struggle. Now, they came back and actually got the lead. They actually came back and got the lead. And then Steve Smith had that big reception for the touchdown. And, you know, first of all, that was an amazing play by Steve Smith for that touchdown. That was an amazing play, but.
You talking about they threw the ball. He juggled the ball, and he still caught the ball. He juggled it and kept on going.
And, you know, he stiff-arms the quarterback on the ground, and he just pretty much walks in for a touchdown. It was an incredible play, but the Ravens still lost. Like, the next drive, they give up that big long pass to A.J. Green.
And he juggled the ball and still held on and took it in.
Yeah, he did something like that last year against the Ravens when they went into overtime, but I think the Ravens still won that game. So, like, A.J. Green is really turning into a Ravens killer, but he's like an everybody killer. Like, he's a beast, but it's interesting that, like, certain teams just can shut down anybody. Like, a team like Seattle, A.J. Green wouldn't go crazy on them. Like, he might get some plays, but he ain't going to go, like, 150 yards and a touchdown. Ain't going to be nothing crazy like that. Like, you know, it's crazy how certain teams can just, they just got that winning formula. It don't matter how good your receivers are, whatever. They can neutralize you.
Let me ask you a question. What running back the Ravens got now? I know they got some running backs in the offseason.
Well, you know, they got the young man in Forsett. He ran for 70 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he was doing his thing. You know, Justin Forsett, he's doing his thing. And, I said young man. Nah, really. He's not really young. I'm automatically thinking he's young because I'm not used to him. I'm thinking he's a rookie. He actually is a veteran. Been in the league for 7 years. So, excuse me. You know, I'm so used to the Ravens having young running backs backing up their star running back. And, they were saying he's been on some teams and he's got plenty of NFL experience, but he was doing his thing. 11 carries, 70 yards, averaging 6.4 yards a carry. He had a touchdown, rush for a touchdown. He was doing his thing. And, you know, with the absence of Ray Rice now, it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
They only got another running back, the one I think they set down.
He's backing up Ray Rice, but he's actually going to be the starter now. And, yeah, man, the whole Ray Rice situation is just crazy, man. I was talking about that earlier at the beginning of the show, Mr. Dano. Like, how do you feel about the Ray Rice situation? With the TMZ releasing that new tape.
The only thing I can say that you just have to be careful in the elevators, and you have to be careful how you treat people. And I can only thing I can do is just pray for the young man, and I hope he they hope let him come back and give him one more change.
Yeah, I mean,
I deserve a second chance.
They suspended him indefinitely, and the Ravens let him go. And, you know, he was originally supposed to be suspended for 2 games. And now the Ravens are talking about you can do a jersey exchange for your Ray Rice jersey. Like, it's like basically saying he's a disgrace and we don't want his jersey. We don't want to see his name on the back of somebody's jersey. Like, let's just destroy him or something. Like, it's crazy, man. I gotta speak my mind on this. I feel like Ray Rice is a victim of the media, and it's like he's a victim of the media, man. It's like the way they just really just is on this, man. I know what he did wasn't cool, wasn't right, but there's a lot of bad stuff going on, and it's big name people that do things that aren't considered honorable, and their careers aren't over. Kobe Bryant's career wasn't over. Ben Roethlisberger's career isn't over. I mean, Kobe Bryant is the man, though. But Kobe Bryant probably is not a good example because Kobe Bryant is an exception. Like, because it seems like to me, like, the brothers are, like, kind of being targeted by the media. You know, and I was talking about this earlier, before the show. Like, it seems like the brothers, the black men, are definitely targeted by the media. I was really wondering if Ray Rice was like a white man or Latino or something, would it be as bad? Like, it seems like just lately it's just been black men just really just crucified on the media. And it don't sit too well with me. Like, his wife is like supporting him through it, and like she stayed with him. She married him. I know hitting women and stuff ain't right, and it's not a good look for the sport. There's no room in the sport for that and stuff. On one hand, you gotta look at it from multiple perspectives. Like, their daughter is like, that contract with the league is like supporting the family too, and Ray Rice's wife, who decided to stay with him through that, and they did a press conference and she was right there beside him. They got married since then, all of that, but they still, the NFL still, you know, just rained down on him like that. And it was like, I just thought it was extra, man. There's other stuff going on. You got people getting away with murdering and killing black men. Leaves them dead in the middle of the street. But Ray Rice is like public enemy number one now because of something that we already knew happened. But now that we actually see the tape for ourselves and we actually see what happened, and for ourselves, and I mean, and on top of that, it's like, whatever happened to privacy? I know the public, the elevator is considered like part of the public, but like, how was that take leaked out like that? Like, is that like, that's not cool? Like, so you mean to tell me if I'm in the elevator, I like?
Well, I think the person who leaked the tape out need to be held accountable. And as far as the NFL, you still got to look at it. They still a corporate business, and they gonna do what's right for business. And Ray Rice, they gonna do what's right for business. And he looked bad today. He looked bad in their eyes. So they did what they had to do, which I think, I hope the young man get a second chance. But NFL is about money. Ravens caught him and pulling his T-shirts off. All this, he shouldn't have did what he did, and he was wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. But I still think the young man deserves a second chance. But you got to look at it. End of the day, it's about business. It's about business. And people don't even realize the NFL is still corporate, and they're a business. And they're going to do what's right for business. And what's right for business is to let Ray Rice go. Because he looked bad in that. He made the NFL image look bad. And the Ravens, they felt what they did was right to cut him loose and let him go. But I still say that when you make mistakes in life, and life is the gospel singer sing a song. We fall down and we get up. And I think that Ray Rice deserves a second chance because we all make mistakes in life. We all make mistakes, and there's nobody in this world is perfect. And I think he deserves a second chance. That's what I thought about it.
Yeah, I feel you on that, Mr. Zano. And Bernard Pierce, who is now going to be the starter, you know, he was Ray Rice's backup. And now Bernard Pierce, I guess he's pretty much going to have the starting job now. I mean, with Ray Rice no longer a part of the team. But you got to watch out for Justin Forsett because has shown that he got some game. It's going to be interesting to see if he continues to play. The way he's been playing, he might have to start for a set and let Bernard Pierce back him up because that boy was balling. I mean,
I see about that is whoever stepped in Ray Rice's shoes, and I'm going to take them away from because Ray Rice is a heck of a running back. They got some big shoes to fill, and they better be ready to step up their game. Because Ray Rice, at the end of the day, he shouldn't have did what he did, and that was wrong. But you can't take his talent away from him. He's a heck of a running back. And to me, he was one of the best running backs in the game. And whoever got to step in Ray Rice's shoes better be on their games and better be paid.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Ravens. I mean, starting off with a loss at home, and then 4 days later having to play Pittsburgh, coming off an emotional win. The Ravens don't want to start off 0-2, that's for sure. They need this win versus Pittsburgh way more than Pittsburgh needs this win. Ravens need that win. You don't want to start off 0-2, not only 0-2, but 0-2 in your division at that is definitely not a good thing. I'll go as far as to say if the Ravens lose to the Steelers at home, the Ravens season, definitely isn't over, but the confidence level for fans for the Ravens is going to be so low because you need those division games or the games that help you get into the playoffs when you're tied with other teams. Like, you need those division wins. You can't afford to go 0-2 against your division rivals at home because now you got to play Cincy on the road later on in the season along with Pittsburgh. And let's just hope they don't lay an egg against the Cleveland Browns when they play them. You know?
Yeah.
So the Ravens better win on Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially since they're at home. They need it way more than the Steelers need it. And I just got to say, man, Andy Dalton, the Bengals, I feel it's almost the same way about them as I do about the Steelers, but them being division rivals of ours. But he tends to play well against the Ravens, man. Annoying, but he tends to play well against them. He passed for 301 yards, not nothing too crazy, a touchdown. But, I mean, it seems like he always going for 300 yards on us, man. It's crazy, like. And A.J. Green is always making big plays against us, too. Steve Smith dropped, like, 4 passes. Now, he finally made up for it when he made that big play for the touchdown. And that actually gave us the lead for the first time for the game. So I actually gave him a pass. But 4 passes is still too many drop passes in one game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
4 passes. I'm going to need Steve Smith to get to Gavin Gill in his A game. I'm really going to need Steve Smith to step it up.
That's hurting you real bad. Them 4 passes, that hurts you real bad in the game.
Yeah, man. And I need Flacco to get his accuracy together. I need the offensive line to play a little more consistent. I need the defense to not just give up, first of all, the defense did a good job by only giving up field goals. They gave up 5 straight field goals before they finally gave one touchdown. So out of 6 scores, the Bengals only got 23 points and so forth. That's good. But the Bengals were just marching up the field, getting the field goal range. And it was good that they stopped them in the red zone and kept them from getting touchdowns. But the fact that the Bengals had that many scoring drives is crazy. Like, you can't allow your team to just keep driving up the field on you. But on the flip side, the Ravens offense has to play better and get first downs so the defense doesn't get tired so they can have energy so they can stop them from having scoring drives. You know, so I'm just rooting for the Ravens to get together, man. And, you know, let's move on. I can talk about the Ravens all night and end up taking up the whole show talking about the Ravens. Now, we got the Bills against the Bears.
Yeah,
that was a shocker. Everybody in the pool picked the Bears, and I think the Bears was favored at, like, probably 8-2 or something. Like, everybody expected the Bears, who actually almost got to the playoffs last year. All they had to do was beat Green Bay. All they had to do was beat Green Bay at the end of the season, but they couldn't do it. Aaron Rodgers made that big play and, you know, got the Packers into the playoffs. But I was not expecting the Bills to beat Chicago. Not that Chicago is like a powerhouse, mm-hmm. but the expectations for the Bills is just set so low. That's really what it is. They found a way to win it. They won 23-20. Was that a surprise for you, Mr. Dano?
Yeah, that was a surprise. They got a win. That was a surprise. I thought sure the Chicago Bears, the way they played last year, I thought they was going to take care of business.
Especially since they were home.
I was shocked that one. Yeah.
And Jay Cutler is always like a wild card, though. I mean, 349 passing yards, you love that. And two touchdowns, that's good. But those two interceptions, though, man. Those interceptions, it's like Jay Cutler, for me, is like, that's my one thing with him. Like, he's known for, like, throwing that interception that caused his team the game. Like, he's just that quarterback,
like,
kind of like.
It's like he do good, and then after a while, he just, I don't know, just can't handle the pressure. He get it going, and then the pressure get too big for him, and then he just.
Bears should have kept Josh McCown and got rid of Jay Cutler, to be honest, because McCown had them boys balling. Every time he came in, they was putting up numbers, crazy numbers, but, like, less mistakes. And Cutler, we know what Cutler's capable of, but we also know Cutler's downfalls and the turnovers, the interceptions. Like, that's my thing with Cutler, man. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Chicago, see if they can weather the storm and find a way to sneak into the wild card or something. But I got Green Bay winning that division, to be honest.
I kind of knew Chicago wasn't going to get rid of Cutler. That's their man. That's that man. He going to be their quarterback at the end of the day. Win, lose, or draw, that's who they got. They already set in their mind that's who they want. And I think the other guy was a better quarterback, but that's not who they want. They going to go with Cutler. And I guess they going to take their chances and chance their whole season on Cutler. And that's going
to be
interesting
to see. And the running back actually had the most receiving yards, 87 receiving yards. Matt Forte, like, the freaking running back had the most receiving yards. Like, that's kind of crazy. Like, that's, I don't know.
Wow.
Hopefully the Bears, you know, get together, though. Now, the Redskins, against the Texans, everybody in the pool picked the Redskins except me. I picked the Texans, and they only won, like, what, it was like 2-14 last year. They won the first two games, and I think lost the last 14. It's crazy, but the Texans won. I mean, I didn't even know they had Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be honest. But
wow, I didn't know they had him either.
Yeah, but they won it. They started 10-6. The Redskins are just 6 points. RG3, 267 passing yards, no touchdowns. The Redskins couldn't get into the end zone, and the Texans held it down. And shockingly, the Texans are 1-0. But I did pick them, and I thought they could win. I didn't think it would be such dominant defense, but they did it. They pulled it off, and got to wonder about the Redskins this year. A lot of people thinking RG3 shouldn't even be starting because he didn't look too sharp during the preseason. A lot of people feel like the backup quarterback for the Redskins is a better pick to start. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Redskins 0-1, not a good start, especially against a team like the Texans who was so horrible last year. expect the Redskins to win that game. But nonetheless, the Texans 1-0. Redskins 0-1. Let's see what happens with them.
You think Texans can turn their season around this year?
The Texans?
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon just yet. I need to see a little more after that horrible season they had last year. Like I got to see a little more. Now they could be the same, like maybe like the Patriots or something like that. And like, oh, they might mean business. The Bengals, somebody like that is like, okay, now we talking. You know, it's gonna be interesting. I will say, I'm gonna just keep the book open for them for now. I'm gonna just kind of got my eyes on them, but if I just pick right now, the Texans make the playoffs, it would definitely still be no at this point, but I'm watching them, though. Now, this is a game that really surprised me. Everybody picked Kansas City over the Titans, and the Titans won in Kansas City in dominant fashion, 26-10. They held the Chiefs to just 10 points at home. And
wow, I'm
did that surprise you, the Titans winning against Kansas City in such dominant fashion?
And Kansas City looked good last year. I thought Kansas City was going to take care of business at home.
Definitely.
But then I should have known Tennessee got that young quarterback, and he ain't no you.
Tennessee came through on the clutch, man. 26 points over Kansas City and held them to just 10 points. So you got to look out for Tennessee. Man, Tennessee... I don't know, because Kansas City might just not be as good as they were last year, or Tennessee might really just be a lot better. Which one is it? Is it a little bit of both? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to see. Tennessee is not one of those teams that I'm not going to make no assumptions based off one game yet. I'm not even going to say I have an eyebrow raised yet, because Kansas City, last year I didn't expect Kansas City to be good. They were shockingly good. They started off 10-0, and once they lost to Denver, their season was never the same again after that. I think they both were like 10-0 when they went against Denver. And I know they both were undefeated. Denver had a loss already. Something like, because I know Denver lost to the Colts. I know Kansas City was undefeated when they played Denver last year. And Denver was either undefeated or only had one loss. And once Denver beat them, they just never looked the same. And then let's not forget that comeback that Andrew Luck had over the Kansas City in the playoffs. And Kansas City was up all those points. You remember that, Mr. Dano? And the Colts came rally back and won and beat Kansas City?
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest comebacks I've seen, like in playoff history, to be honest. And let's just see if the Chiefs. Hopefully, the Chiefs don't still have a hangover from that playoff loss to the Colts, because they definitely should have won that game. That was ridiculous for them to lose that game. They definitely lost it though, and. Let's just see if they lost their composure, or let's see if they get it together and Andy Reid can get them boys back to playing Chiefs ball, like how they was playing the first 10 games of last year. But definitely the shocker of the week, the biggest upset of the week is definitely the Dolphins over the Patriots. The Patriots, who actually have Darrelle Revis now, who was arguably the best cornerback in all of football. And they lost 20-33. They lost, and you think if they lose to Miami, it would only be by like a field goal. They lost 20-33. They lost by 13 points to the Dolphins. The Dolphins pretty much had Tom Brady on lock. What do you think about that, Mr. Dano?
I saw some of that game, and I was just on. I thought the Patriots would be the team. I don't know. I think they. I don't think it's going to be too much. If the Miami Dolphins can play them like that, these other teams won't. And like I said, if the Miami Dolphins took them apart like that, imagine if they have to play somebody like the 49ers or the Seattle Seahawks.
Right, I mean... Now, they are division rivals, and as I was stating earlier, division rivals know each other well, and tend to play each other well, but you just expect. I can't remember the time the Patriots started out this season 0-1.
Yeah, they usually dominate.
But I can't really name any of the Patriots receivers. Like, they don't have, like, great receivers like they usually do. Like, it's going to be an interesting season for the Patriots. I mean, 1-0, 0-1 ain't much. I mean, Bill Belichick definitely, I think, is the best coach in football, but he doesn't have the most talent right now. And Bill Belichick is known for winning with average players that aren't great, but just good players, not great. And I don't know, man. One thing's for sure, you definitely can't lose hope. And if you're a Patriots fan, you gotta stay optimistic about Bill Belichick and his ability to coach and rally the Patriots to get into the playoffs. That's for sure. I still think the Patriots win that division.
Yeah,
and it'll probably be ugly when the Miami goes to New England. To be honest, they're probably going to like really be looking. New England's probably going to be looking for blood. But you gotta give the Dolphins credit, man. They actually beat the Patriots in the opener. The Dolphins 1-0, Patriots 0-1. Who would have ever thought? I'm just glad I didn't bet any money on it because I would have definitely lost. And we got the Panthers against the Bucks. I was expecting the Panthers to win. They won. I expected it to be a more dominant fashion, but I guess when your starting quarterback is hurt, you know, things won't really flow as smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, nonetheless, a win is a win, but, you know, Tampa Bay's reputation over the past couple of seasons, you know, you expect the Panthers to blow them out. Once again, it's a division rival, though, and then the Panthers don't have their starting quarterback. So.
Yeah.
Now, Tampa Bay has Josh McCown. And, you know, he's the one that had the Bears balling out of control last year when Cutler was hurt.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't he get injured? The Carolina Panthers quarterback got injured during preseason?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, he must have. I didn't even know. Last time I seen him playing in preseason, he was playing, so.
I think the last game he got injured.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean. I don't know. I was totally caught off guard, but at least they found a way to hold it down and still win it, because how big of an upset would that have been if them to actually lose and be 0-1 against a raw. I mean, I know it's a division rival, but Tampa, like, come on, you got to be dumb, man. If you could, as good as the Panthers were last year, they actually won their division, like.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to give the, you know, Cam Newton is hurt, but you got to give the Panthers credit for winning the game. And I guess you got to give Tampa Bay credit for showing up. I didn't get to see that game, so I don't know the flow of the game. But the Panthers won. They're 1-0. Tampa's 0-1. I would say New Orleans probably wins that division this year, though they lost their first game and Carolina won their first game. I still would rock. Well, you know, New Orleans is my team anyway, so I think New Orleans wins that division this year. But they'll be at the Niners over Dallas, 28-17, and the Niners started off on fire. They was forcing Romo to make mistakes. He threw like three interceptions in the first half. It's crazy, man. Dallas tried to make a late comeback, but it was just too late. The 49ers dominated. They controlled the tempo. They forced Dallas into crucial mistakes. The Niners just pretty much showed up with their game face on. In the second half, you can tell they pretty much just controlled the momentum and the flow of the game, and it was just pretty much over. And Dallas, in typical Dallas fashion, just found a way to lose the game. Actually, they never had the game in their grasp in the first place. And, I mean, there's no way I was expecting Dallas to beat San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco is just a really good team. Anquan Boldin is a great addition to that team. I know Ravens fans are still feeling the effects of losing Boldin, and he's a great fit in San Francisco. They have a solid defense. They got some hurt players, but people are stepping up, making plays. And the Harbaugh brothers are two of the greatest coaches in the game. 49ers have too many weapons, man. I mean, they just, you know, they got Frank Gore, Colin Kaepernick, Anquan Boldin, and they got Davis, one of the best tight ends in the game. Oh, man. They got Michael Crabtree. They got, what's his name, Stevie Johnson from the Buffalo Bills. He's a pretty solid receiver. He's got too many weapons, point blank. Too many weapons, and
I think they are
the team. If any team gives Seattle a run for their money, it's the Niners. I can't wait to see them play each other. That's going to be two crazy games this year. And the 49ers done what we expected them to do, and they came and they dominated. They held it down. Niners 1-0.
I'm serious.
Cowboys 0-1.
Yep, I saw that game.
Yeah, I was about to say it was a good game. I had to catch myself. No, it wasn't. It was dominance. It was just the 49ers dominated. That's all it was. Now, you got the Colts over, the Colts versus the Broncos. I was hoping the Colts could have did what they did last year and find a way to beat the Broncos, but the Colts weren't home. They didn't have their home crowd behind them. And Robert Mathis, one of the best rushers in the game. I think the NFL sack leader last year.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, the Colts' best pass rusher wasn't there. And you got the best quarterback in the game right now in Peyton Manning. I mean, you know, the Colts, you know, they hung in there. And they had a chance, I think, to try to come back and tie it at the end. But you never really felt like the Colts were really going to win the game. Like, Denver kind of dominated, like, the flow of the game. The game was definitely played at Denver's momentum, Denver's flow. And
Peyton Manning, did his thing. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. He did his thing. You know, it's Peyton Manning. You can't shut him down. You let him do his thing, you ain't going to win. You gotta shut Peyton Manning down from the beginning of the game. If you don't, you ain't gonna win.
You gotta do what Seattle did last year in the playoffs. Like, if you ain't doing that, then good luck. And it's easier said than done. But if you want to beat Peyton Manning, you better have a great pass rush. That's about the only chance you got. I still think the Colts are going to be good this year. I think they'll definitely win their division. I think the Colts will be good. It just sucks to have to open up the season against the team representing the AFC in the Super Bowl last year, the Broncos, who are still a really solid team and still have the best quarterback in the league, who threw 55 touchdowns this year. I would jump the gun and say no way Peyton Manning breaks that record. That record is going to sit for a long time. I think Peyton Manning is going to be long retired before that record is even being floated with being broken. Like, that's just crazy, 55 touchdowns. But I think Peyton Manning will definitely probably have probably 35, anywhere between 35 and 40 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
He still threw for 3 touchdowns, 269 passing yards. Still had definitely had a solid game. And he just did what he needed to do to get his team to win, man. And what else can you expect of Peyton Manning? You can't expect nothing short of that. Peyton Manning
plus
doing what Peyton Manning knows how to do, and that's win.
Plus, they added more weapons to their team. They got some more weapons, too.
Their defense is better now. They got better pass rushing now. Yeah. And,
they got some
I mean, Andrew Luck, 370 yards passing and 2 touchdowns. That's solid numbers right there. But Denver's just such a good, solid team, man. It's just, you just got your work cut out for you, man, when you're facing them. But Denver 1-0, the Colts 0-1. I think the Colts win their division. I think Denver definitely, both of them are division winners, and they could possibly meet in the playoffs this year. Going to be interesting to see how things fail in the AFC. Now, we got the Giants against the Lions, and I actually picked the Giants to win. I'm the only fool in the pool that picked the Giants to win over Detroit, and Detroit dominated and shut down Eli Manning. they dominated. And they, Megatron went crazy, 164 passing yards, receiving yards, and two touchdowns.
The Giants ain't got – I feel sorry for the Giants quarterback. What's his name again?
Eli Manning.
Peyton,
Peyton Manning, brother.
Eli Manning. He ain't going to make it. I don't think he's going to stay healthy. He ain't going to stay healthy. If they don't get no line, because the Giants, they ain't got no line, and they can't protect him. There's no way in the world he can continue to play the rest of this year, the rest of the season, without getting hurt. Because I watched the game, he ain't had no protection, none. They just, I watched the game, they just tore through the line. He ain't had no, he got sacked three times, four interceptions. He don't have no protection, none.
His receivers are, like, running, like, they're not doing what they're supposed to do with their routes. They're dropping passes. He don't really have receivers this year. Megatron, that's a tough task for anybody to cover, but most teams just try to focus on neutralizing Megatron, and then if you got a good defense, they can usually handle the rest of the team, but Megatron, it poses such a threat. If you don't pretty much put two defenders on him, or if you ain't got no shutdown corner like Darrell Reeves on your team, he's going to pretty much go crazy. But, I mean, I just regret, like, I feel so stupid for picking the Giants to win. I just thought the Giants, this might have been that year that the Giants, people sleeping on the Giants, and they will come out and make us some noise, but I was wrong. I mean, so far, you know. But the Giants have been known to have bad starts and then come back and win a Super Bowl, so let's see what the Giants do this year. But the difference from this year's Giants and past Giants teams is that they don't really have receivers. Like, they got Victor Cruz. Who else? Like, I don't know if I can name anybody else. So.
The Giants are going to be in last place, I'm telling you, because they're going to be in that line.
It's possible. I don't know, man.
But he got sacked. It's not just him. He ain't got no protection. You could be the best quarterback in the world, but if you ain't got no line and no protection, who going to help you? You got to have somebody to protect the line. You got to have somebody to give you time enough to throw that ball, give you time to get a first down, give you time to make a play. But if you ain't got nobody, they was coming through the line like it's. They was coming through the line like a hot knife going through butter. They were just coming through the line. He had no help. No help.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Matthew Stafford, 346 passing yards, two touchdowns. Detroit tends to play good at the beginning of the season and then find a way to lose key games and not make the playoffs. Let's see what happens this year. Let's see if Detroit can really rally their team and, you know, have their defense step up and really, because we know they got offense. The question is, can their defense step up and limit their time on the field to be able to make impactful plays and help their team get into the playoffs? And their offense is, you know, when Matthew Stafford is playing Stafford-type football, man, their offense is pretty much as good as anybody. I mean, he's scrambling. You see what Stafford was scrambling, making people miss, throwing the ball, scrambling one way, throwing a body cross field, cross his shoulder to the other field, like, I mean, to the end zone, like throwing touchdown passes with his body just kind of just contorted. And, man, I mean, I don't know, man. I am looking out for the Lions. I want to see what they do this year. The Lions could possibly be a sleeper. There's a couple of teams that could be a sleeper team, including the Lions. Let's see. We know their offense can do it. The question is, can their defense do it?
I think the Lions are going to be a good team. I think they're going to be hot this year.
It's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, it's hopefully Eli Manning, because, you know, I like Eli Manning, and I think he's two Super Bowls wins and two Super Bowl MVPs and some Pro Bowl appearances. I think Eli Manning is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer, but he has so much more potential than the way he's played last year and the way he started out this year. And like, the last 2 years weren't good, but the year before that, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They just won, what, the 2012 Super Bowl? And this year will be the 2015 Super Bowl. Like, it's just 3 years ago, three seasons ago. So let's see, man. I know Eli Manning still got something in the tank. Is can the rest of his team play well? Can they help him out? He need help. And with that said, we have the final. What was that, Mr. Dano?
I said he got to have protection in the line. He can't. He like you say, he's a good quarterback, but if he ain't got no line and no protection, that's it. And the receivers got to step up and catch. They can't be driving balls all over the place because that game Monday night, that game was terrible.
Yeah, that was sad. I was sitting there watching, shaking my head like, are you kidding me? Like, wow. And every time it looked like something good was going to go that way, interception, fumble, I'm like, come on, man. Like, because, you know, I'm rooting for them because I picked them, and I'm trying to win this pool, and I just regretted it. Like, man, why did I pick them? I'm the only one that picked them and lost.
I had to lay the line, whole line out because I've told y'all trying to get me killed out there. Y'all going to have to do something. Y'all trying to get me hurt. Where y'all was playing, y'all just left me open to just get. They just left him open. I mean, they were just coming through the line. Every time I said, if he wasn't getting sacked, when he threw the ball, they came through the line, put the pressure on him, and then it caused him to throw his passes, was all, and he was throwing interception because he had no protection. You got to have protection. You got to protect the quarterback. No protection, no line, and no protection of the quarterback. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to lose.
This is true. And lastly, we got San Diego against the Cardinals. That was actually a good game. I watched that game on DVR. I finished watching it earlier this morning. It's a good game. And
yeah,
You didn't see that one?
No,
the Chargers looked like they had the Cardinals against the ropes, and the Cardinals rallied back in, like, the fourth quarter. The last few minutes of the game came back and won. Final score, 18-17,
wow,
won by 1 point. It was a really, really good game. You know, Carson Palmer used to play for the Bengals. He used to give the Ravens problems, so I definitely can't forget him. And he got. I didn't even know he threw for 4,000 yards last year. Anyway, that's crazy. And he got the Cardinals looking like they pretty much picking up where they left off at. The Chargers, you know, made the playoffs last year, and they beat Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati was undefeated, 8-0 at home, and then lost to the Chargers first game of the playoffs. And Chargers, you know, were like, Chargers are, you know, still the Chargers. That's what's up, you know, for them to go on a roll and get a win in the playoffs against Cincy last year. And I think the Chargers are still a solid team because they pretty much had the game. Now, let's not forget the Cardinals were 10-6 last year, and they were almost a playoff. I mean, 10-6, most of the time, that's good enough to get you in the playoffs. But they happen to be in a division with Seattle and the 49ers. And Cardinals are a solid team. The Chargers are a solid team. But the Cardinals found a way to get the win. Carson Palmer showed that he's definitely still got game. We all know Phillip Rivers still got game, but the Cardinals pretty much neutralized him. And, you know, he made some good plays, but he didn't go crazy. He hitting 380 yards and 3-4 touchdown passes. Those are the type of numbers that Phillip Rivers are capable of. But the Cardinals toned it down and kept him pretty much in their grasp. And Cardinals found a way to win. They got a pretty good defense. They definitely got offense. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best receivers to play the game. They got Malcolm Floyd. He's a solid receiver. And I think the Cardinals can mimic their season last year. Oh, I said Malcolm Floyd, Michael Floyd. But I think the Cardinals can pretty much be. I could see them being a 10-6 team again. Like, I think the Cardinals. I don't think last year was just a fluke. I think the Cardinals will still have a respectable record and could possibly squeeze into the wild card. But I also think the Chargers are capable of that too. Phillip Rivers is definitely an underrated quarterback. I always felt like he was one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And it's just going to be interesting to see how things play out with that. I think they both have potential. I think at least one of those two teams make the wild card. I think one of them make the wild card. Like, because they're two teams that people tend to sleep on, don't even realize that they're really solid teams. So You think the Chargers or the Cardinals can make the playoffs this year, Mr. Dano?
I think the Cardinals can. I think that game will come on NFL replay. I'm going to have to check that game out. I want to see that game. Because I forgot that game was coming on. By the time I finished watching the Giants game, and they got destroyed by the Lions like they did, that just threw me off. And I forgot all about the other game was coming on behind it. I was just so disgusted.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the games, man. So definitely an interesting week of football. Week one. Can't wait to see week two. It's gonna be some good matchups, and I can't wait to. You know, I still gotta get the pool done. Like, it's crazy. Like, this whole pool thing is, like, crazy, but my schedule makes it so hectic. But, you know, I got the results out, and now I got to, you know, get week two sent out to everybody so we can focus on making our picks for week two. So that'll definitely be coming out tomorrow. And, you know, with that said, that's all the teams. That's all the action that went down in week one. So before we get out of here, I just want to say, first of all, thanks for listening. And also, don't forget to check out NFL Weekly Wrap-Up by logging on to UltimateSportsTalk.com. You can also hear NFL Weekly Wrap-Up and other shows from It's Real Talk Radio by visiting blogtalkradio.com/T-Real. And you can hear NFL Weekly Wrap-Up and other It's Real Talk Radio shows also by going on to iTunes. If you go into the iTunes store and you type in It's Real Talk Radio, bam, we pop right up. All of our archive shows are right there. NFL Weekly Wrap-Up and every other show we've ever done, you know, so you know, you can't miss us one way or the other. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Ultimate Sports Talk, if you want to hear NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, man, check us out. We're here. We're going to bring it every Tuesday. New time, 10 p.m. last year. We were 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time this year. We're 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just remember, man, you can catch NFL Weekly Wrap-Up live on air by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/T-Real if you want to hear a live show. You can also hear a live show by phone. Just dial in 347-838-9540, and that's Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with that said, Mr. Dano, it's about that time for us to, you know, about that time for us to get up out of here. But, you know, I got to do one thing before we get out of here. You know, I got to do your calling, Mr. Dano. Had to hook you up with that. You know, can't close the show out without doing that.
I heard that. That's my calling. Yes, sir.
Yep, and with that said, we are out of here. Stay tuned next week, NFL Weekly Wrap-Up on It's Real Talk Radio. It'll be week two. We'll be talking about all the action that went down on week two of the NFL season, 2014 season. With that said, we out of here. Catch you next week, next Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night, everybody.
Begins the snap. He cocks his arm. He goes a pass. It's caught in stride at the 40-yard line by Thomas. At the 50. Breaks the tackle at the 40. Down the near side. The 25. The 20.